church, grace and faith, and God's unconditional love. That is the basis of everything that we teach. But the point is to grow people up in this understanding of God's grace, grow people up in faith, grow people up in understanding, not just receiving his love, but understanding his love and being able to be reciprocal to him. Because it's just not all one way, right? This is a relationship. And out of this relationship flow everything in our lives for us. Everything. Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This first verse of Psalm 91 is the opening and the foundation of all the rest of the verse. The title of today's message is Stay Put. Stay Put. Now, I like to study words out. I like to know a lot of times where historically, where in our English vernacular, where did these come from? I don't like to study all the time just Hebrew and Greek. I want to know, where do our words come from? Stay put. What a peculiar saying. And all it means is, it came about in the mid-1800s, just if you want to know. But all it means is putting something in place and having it stay there. That's all. That's where it came from. Stay put. Stay in place. Stay where you are. Don't move. Don't leave. Stay put. All right? So that's the basis of what this is about today. Psalm 91, verse 1. As I've been studying more and more of the Hebrew language and going into more of the classical Hebrew, the poetic and the deeper understanding of the Hebrew, the Old Testament's written in Hebrew, okay? And understanding more and more of what's actually being communicated, because the Old Testament is the foundation for our New Testament. Don't ever throw it away. The nature and the character and the love and the grace of God is throughout the word. That was a good spot for an amen. I want to read to you how Psalm 91 verse 1 sounds with the influx, the influence, the placement of the Hebrew meaning. Anybody ever struggled with this before? Somebody asked me one time, what is a secret place? Let's talk about it. He or she who dwells in the secret place. Number one, he who dwells in the Hebrew, as you get down to the root, means to marry, as in marriage. He who marries and moves into, connects with this way, in a depth this way, in the secret place of the Most High. This secret place literally is a place where God shares his heart with those who have married. This is figuratively married him. And this marriage really is a giving of our lives to him, our hearts. And he says, he who marries and lodges there in this secret place of the Most High, the place where God shares his heart and reveals the secret things, the hidden things to us. It's a place where he can open things up to us that he can't open up to the world or somebody that just lives on the surface of Christianity. But those who desire to stay put there, that happens with a marriage. That's the intent, always has been the intent of a marriage, is to lodge there. Now, he who dwells in the secret place, that hidden place where God reveals his secrets, shares his heart, reveals his heart with us through relationship of the Most High, shall abide, shall lodge or live and stay under the shadow. This shadow is God's, it's an overview or the poetic symbol of him shadowing every part of our lives in protection and care and love and security. And everything that comes through this marriage with him. This is what this means. And that's why when you read Psalm 91, as you read it through and you meditate on it, it all flows out of this meaning. All the preservation, the protection, the care, the love, everything. And I encourage you to read it and meditate on it with this understanding. Rosie and I, and when this kind of got real to me, when Rosie and I got married all those years ago, we both had a house. And she had a nice house on the water. And I had this dumpy little fixer-upper in the middle of town on a noisy street. And I said, we need to live in my house. I need to bring you in. This is for us, okay? But I need to bring you in to my house. You need to sell your house. And when she did, she came in under, I'm painting the picture how this works. She came in under my security and my protection and my provision for her. And she took my name, and that became a part of her identity. Now, she's still an individual, but we married, and she lodged with me. Not me with her, but she lodged with me. And, of course, from our marriage, those secret things, those hidden things that I wouldn't reveal to anybody else, I could reveal to her and she with me in this relationship. This is how the Lord has for us. When we join our lives to him through Jesus, this is what this means. And we take on his identity. And we come into his care. Really, it's the outflow of his grace through his love to us. This is the transfer. It's leaving where we were and moving over to him. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to cement this before I move on. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, Paul writes this, as it is written to the church, to us, eye has not seen nor ear heard. Now he's quoting Isaiah. You know that all of the things that Jesus spoke came out of the Old Testament. You know that, right? Okay. And Paul and Peter and all the rest of the letter writers quoted Old Testament. We're not going back into the Old Testament. We're not going to live there. Okay? But I want you to understand that the whole word is truth. That's why it's so important to study. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now he's speaking about, first off, Isaiah is speaking about having this conjunction, this relationship together, this marrying into this relationship with the Lord. Dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Eye has not seen or ear heard or entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Here's what I want to get to. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Because we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and he tells us things, and he tells us his heart. And we get revelation knowledge, and we gain understanding, and we gain wisdom, and we gain clarity, and we gain direction for our lives, because we can share back and forth with the Lord. And he's sharing his heart and the secret things with us. This is how this works. Now turn to John, please. John's Gospel. John's Gospel. I love this Gospel. I love it all. Chapter 15. And I want to take a minute, and I can't give the time to this that it deserves today. But I want you to hear this in the spirit of and in the sense of staying put in this marriage relationship. It's really abiding. Okay? Jesus said, John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Don't think. If you're not bearing fruit, please get over this. Every branch in him that does not bear fruit means he boots you out. You've lost your salvation, or you've been rejected by him. That is not what this means. In the Greek, it means he lifts up. When it says he takes away, it means that this part of the vine and this part of the plant has fallen into the dirt. It's fallen into the ground and needs to be picked up and protected and cleaned up and cared for. That's what that means. You're here in the heart of God. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. He removes the junk that we need to get rid of that's hurting us. He said, you are, verse 3, you are already clean or pruned, is what Jesus specifically meant in the Greek, because of the word which I've spoken to you. He's already brought the word to them. Then verse 4, he said, abide in me and I in you. Now, the understanding of this is exactly as the Hebrew puts it in Psalm 91, verse 1. Come in to me and stay put. Come in to my life, to my identity, because that's what you're receiving, is my identity. That's your new identity. It's me. It's who I am. It's everything I am and everything I have. This is a part of being a co-heir with Jesus. You're receiving my identity. Come in and stay put. Marry and join with me. You know, we become the bride of Christ when we get born again. You understand that, right? Ephesians chapter 5. We become born again and we become his bride that he nurtures and cherishes and cares for. but we take his identity. It's not something we have to conjure up and make our own. We become a new creation and we get a new identity, but it's not based on anything to do with us. It's all based on him. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We can't make any changes in our lives or see the effect or this explosion of God's grace to us and for us or even through us without abiding in him. Because everything we do without abiding in him or staying married, yoked up with him, we're on our own. That's when it becomes a work or an effort or something that we're trying to do or make happen. And that fruit just don't work. It doesn't last. It really doesn't produce anything. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide, remain, lodge, live in me. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He or she who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. What he's specifically saying is to reject him, to reject this new identity, to reject his sacrifice, burial, and resurrection, to walk away from it, which people have. To reject it and say, I don't want it. They die. They wither. There is a judgment. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, here's the part of the relationship that I think we miss. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. This is all in the aspect, the meaning, the understanding of this marriage and lodging with him and in him all the time. You never leave. This is part of why God hates divorce. Because it is the picture. Marriage was always supposed to be the picture of us coming into a relationship with the Lord. And dwelling there. Marrying, dwelling, living, lodging, and sharing the secret things reciprocally with each other forever. That is his heart for us. We so miss it. That's why we can ask whatever we want. We're so connected to Jesus. You see, we live in this new, if you're born again, we live in this new identity. Except what happens is we continually exchange our new identity and this marriage and this abiding in Jesus, depending on the culture or depending on what somebody says or how we were raised or how we might feel that morning. We continually exchange it for something else. Listen, we've changed, and that's the reality. Our identity is Jesus. It's his identity. You know, Romans 8:29 says we're being conformed into the image of his son. That is his identity. Everything that Jesus is, we're being conformed into that identity. That's who we are. It's been done in our spirit. It's happening in our lives as we remember and understand and reinforce who we really are. Because we are not who we used to be. The reason we can live in the understanding of his grace and prosperity and righteousness and healing and health and peace and joy and preservation, the reason we can do this is because We're abiding, married to, lodging in, not leaving Jesus. We're so connected, so enmeshed, so married to Him. And we've accepted that. When in Old Testament, Ruth married Boaz. Ruth was a Gentile. She was a get away from me. Ruth came from, she was a Moabite, and she came with her mother-in-law back to Israel, and through a long series of events, ended up marrying Boaz, who was a very wealthy, well-connected, well thought of, highly respected gentleman farmer. She married him and she came into his life and she dwelt in the secret place as a picture. This is a picture of the Most High. And she received the benefits of his identity, his life, his covenant for her. This is what we get when we abide in Jesus, when we stay put in his identity. We abide in him. This is what we get. In the book of Hosea, the Lord, you know, the Lord works in such wonderful, dramatic, graphic pictures to give us, illustrations to give us because we don't have a clue most of the time, to give us a clue of what it looks like in this life, how things work, how everything fits. And so the Lord says, Hosea, I want you to go marry a prostitute. Now, can you imagine Hosea as a prophet? He's going, like, are you kidding me? I mean, for real? Lord, come on. I thought you had the best for me. God's design was to give a picture to Israel of what it's like, and this is for us, when we don't abide in Jesus and what it looks like, what it feels like, not only to Hosea and Gomer was his wife's name, but to the Lord. What happened is she split. They got married. She split. She left. She goes, I'm out of here. And he had to go chase her down. Actually, the Lord said, go chase her down. Bring her back. And what happened in this was she quit dwelling in this secret place. She didn't abide there. And she lost out. And she missed. And she hurt herself, her kids, Hosea. And this is what we do. When we don't abide in Jesus, when we don't abide in him, it's not like he's kicking us out. When we don't abide in him, we're missing out on the benefits of dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. We're missing this marriage and this change of our identity. We're forgetting these things and we're losing out. We're paying the price, and then we begin to go back into a works mentality. Ah, gosh, I gotta earn this. I gotta do some ritualistic, traditional kind of an effort thing and make this work for my life. No. We just need to abide in him, in his identity for our lives. That's all. Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10. Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10 says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you, believers, are complete in him. There's no incompleteness in Jesus. And abiding in Jesus, lodging in him, if you will, there's no anything incomplete. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7 says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Now, to walk in the Greek means to live. As you have received him, live in him. Abide in him. Lodge there. Don't leave there, because if you leave, you're only hurting you. And you're breaking his heart, but you're only hurting you. If you live there, then the benefits are awesome. And because it all comes out of that relationship of the dwelling in the marriage picture. So let me sum it up. It takes being born again. You must be born again. Do you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? No, but it sure is a plus. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, Nick, listen, you have to be born again to see or to experience the kingdom of heaven. Period. If you are not born again, you will not see or experience, in the Greek, the kingdom of heaven. Period. There's no other way around this. There's no efforts, no works. We got a letter in the mail from, it was a very nice letter. This came in yesterday. And written specifically to Rosie and I, and well written, came with a little pamphlet and said, the world is crashing and burning. There's a lot of fear out there. Do you want to know what God says? And the letter was, like I said, nicely written. And said, please contact us if you have any questions. Jehovah's Witness, da 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 da. Jehovah's Witnesses are, gosh, they're well-meaning. They're under a lot of fear and false doctrine, which is really sad. But it is a works-based doctrine. I'm not going to go any farther with that. I'm going to teach on the cult someday, but I'm not going to go any farther. They don't even believe that Jesus is Lord. That Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection was all it took for us to be born again. Accepting that gets us to be born again. So they were trying to recruit us out of abiding. Which happens all the time in our culture, our world, all around us. It comes through the internet. And it may not be as direct as that. It's very subtle. But there's all kinds of areas of our lives that we might dabble in that are saying, your identity really isn't that. It's not Jesus or looks like Jesus. It's how you feel. It's what I say politically correctly. It's what I've determined at the moment, or what we are communicating to you in school, or all these different kind of things. Well, those are not true. Anything that is not in agreement or contradicts what God says about you and this new identity that we have is a lie. And we battle that, and it takes us out of that abiding relationship if we give in. Or if we say, well, maybe it is true. Stop right there. Don't go there. If you're dabbling in something that is affecting who you know you are or who God says you are, then stop it. You're hurting you. You're not abiding. You're not staying put. Every time we don't stay put, we hurt us. So when we're born again, we give up our lives. Figuratively, we marry and move in with the Lord Jesus Christ. We take on his identification, his identity. We do. We take on his security, his health, his wealth, his benefits becomes our inheritance because we become joint heirs with him. In this, he shares his secrets, revelation, instruction, the mysteries, and things that are hidden to the world. We have to choose to stay put every single day and abide in Him while we're sharing this heart-to-heart relationship. And I guarantee you, you will experience this explosion of God's grace in your life. Grace isn't just favor. It is His ability to do the things, everything that we cannot do. It is moving in authority and power and love and much, much more. The only thing that keeps us from staying put is us, never Him. We have to make a daily decision to live and stay put in Him. That's how this works. You want a successful life? That's how it works. You want to walk in the victories? That's how it works. He's done it all. He's given it all. There is nothing withheld from us. But that is how it works. The crux of it all is, you must be born again. To be born again, you have got to have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That His death and burial and resurrection was enough to see and experience eternal life here and now and forever. Because the alternative is too horrible to think about. We have this opportunity, all of us, given to us. If you've got any doubt whether or not you are born again, and are experiencing or going to experience the kingdom of heaven here and now, prayer team, come on up. Actually, go in the room over there, will you? I'm going to close. If you've got any doubt whether eternal life is yours or not, you don't have to be in doubt. And you don't have to be afraid anymore today. All you have to do is choose life. All you have to do is choose to marry into Jesus and what He has for you. Abide in Him. So, stand with me, please. If you have any doubt and you want to be sure, this is it. Today's your day. After I close, please go over to that room and talk to one of the prayer ministers, and they will tell you how this works. It is so easy. God has made it so easy. It's too easy. That's what we think. Jesus has done it all for us. There is nothing else that we have to do but accept Him and what He did. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank You for Jesus. Jesus, our Lord. Wow. I love being Yours. We accept today, this moment, Your sacrifice, burial, and resurrection for us. We believe that You conquered sin, sickness, death, hell, lack, fear, and every other foul thing that would destroy us. And we join ourselves to You in Your identity today. We agree. You are our Lord. Help us to stay put in You, in Your identity that is ours now every day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are dismissed. We will see you at the volunteer banquet.